Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/HamNation and enter promo code HamNation. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 248 for May 18th, 2016. Live from Dayton, it's Wednesday night.
Hello, everybody. We are in Dayton, Ohio. What is Dayton? It's about ham radio. And usually we, from Petaluma, they switch all of us around. But here we get to do it live. Yep. It's Valerie. Valerie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Beautiful weather here in Dayton. Not too late to get here. This is the granddaddy of all ham radio conventions. Everybody is here.
That's right. And, of course, I'm Bob Heil, but we have Gordo with us. And, Gordo, how are you doing?
I am great, but better than I am great is our great, great group of ham radio operators. And on the count of three, as if you're working DX on... All right, 20 meters. Let's hear those call signs. 1, 2, 3. Well, thank you so much, and we are delighted to be here as part of DX Engineering, ICOM America. We're having a great time tonight. Back to you, Bob.
All right. I think we have Casper mattresses with us tonight, too. So if anybody wants a good sleep, why, buy a Casper. That's what we hear. Don will tell us about that later. We also have Don back at home. Don, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm jealous that I'm not able to be there with you guys, but I decided to wear the purplest thing I had, which is my LSU shirt. Of course, LSU doing very, very well in baseball here towards the end of the season. And I'm watching my Oklahoma City Thunder and Golden State. And I think Victor and I may have a wager going on here before the end of the show. We'll see. Although the last time I bet anybody, any Bay Area team against my team, I lost. So I don't know. I may have to rethink that. Bob, back to you.
Okay, and George, I guess you're ready to get out of there tomorrow. You're going to be here tomorrow, right, George?
Yeah, I'll be there right after lunch tomorrow, Bob. I've got all my stuff packed, and looking forward to another exciting year in Dayton. Wish I could be there with y'all tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, we're glad that you're back there holding the fort down, and Victor is running the controls in Petaluma. Well, what we want to do first, we want to bring on the most important guy of the room tonight, and that happens to be K3LR, who has worked a couple of DX stations in his lifetime, and he's got Terry with
station somewhere.
Right. We're going to switch cameras, and Valerie is going to talk.
Hello, everybody. I'm here with Terry Greiser, K8MNJ, and Tim Duffy, K3LR. And they are in charge of Contest University this year. And so tell me, I know it's sold out. So how many people is it if it's sold out? How many people are coming tomorrow for Contest U?
We think that we're going to have maybe 275 show up. We have a standby student section this year. So we had to expand. But for the first time in 10 years, it's sold out.
And Terry, how many man hours and how many volunteers does it take to put the Contest University on?
Oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine how many man hours. Most of those are mine, but it took probably 3 hours worth of man hours this evening just to put the bags together and get registration going.
And we have lots of professors this year. How many professors in total?
We have 11 professors, and we'd like to welcome you, Val, as our newest professor. and your first year here teaching. I know you've attended as a student, but you graduated at the top of your class. And so we're very proud to have you back teaching and spreading your knowledge to the students. We've got 70% of the students this year are first-timers. So that says a lot about it. And, you know, what Terry didn't tell you is she's been working on Contest University for this year since last year. So it was 3 hours tonight, but it was over 300 hours over the past year.
Now, I see goodie bags around the room. What, maybe we can grab this guy's goodie bag. What typically goes in a goodie bag, Carrie?
T-shirt, hat. There's some vendor ads in there. There's credentials. There's notepads. There's lanyards, pens, bumper stickers, all from ICOM. There's a T-shirt, like the one I'm wearing in there. There's a textbook in there. And then there's some vote sheets, an eyeball sprint sheet, and some of those kind of stuff.
And if people can't get to Dayton to see Contest, can they watch it online?
They can. They'll be live streaming all day tomorrow.
And they even get a PL-259.
Oh, yeah.
Every student gets one of the best connectors you can buy. This is the Amphenol 83 1SP. It's silver plated. And we thought, you know, every year we get asked, what's a good UHF connector? And so every student gets one this year.
Wow. All right.
And what's the website or the URL for them to go and watch the stream of Contest University if they can't make it?
Yes. So tomorrow morning, starting at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, thanks to ICOM America and Adrian and Ray Novak and Will Jourdain, who have all made this possible, they can go to the Contest University website, which is ContestUniversity, all one word, .com, and they can click on the watch the Ustream live stream from ICOM America, and they can see selected sessions.
Very good. And what are some of the topics for tomorrow?
You know, we're going to be talking about antennas, about station building, about statistics, or that word that you hear a lot in sports today, analytics. And I know that you've got some surprises there. We're also going to talk about putting on connectors and tower safety. So it really, you know, 22 different presentations tomorrow and a textbook that's over an inch thick. And it is going to be an amazing day. So people online can watch from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, and they can see all the happenings here at Contest University.
I think we have a last-minute student wanting to check into Contest University. Bob?
Well, I just wanted to thank you because this is a great thing for ham radio. I mean, it is the best. We get to teach people of 80, 90 years old, but we have a special one here that's 12.
12 years old.
12 years. Look at this. Clayton, come in here. Clayton is the grandson. Hey, yeah.
All right, Clayton.
All right. He's the grandson of one of my great friends, John King, W9KXQ. We've known each other for a long time. Clayton, how old are you?
I'm 12.
You're 12. How long have you been typing out CW and all that good stuff?
3 years.
3 years. And I guess your grandpa had a lot to do with this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Now, has he bought you a brand new radio yet?
No, we actually use a very old one that we found in my basement.
Well, we have to change that. And you're in the right room to do that. Well, congratulations, and I hope you learn a lot tomorrow. I know you will, from Contest University. Now, one last question. Where are you from?
I am from Greenville, Illinois, on Central Time.
On Central Time. Okay, and your call?
KC9WZL in Phonetics, Kilowatt Charlie 9, Washington, Zulu, Lima.
Good deal. John?
You did good.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Good luck to you. And this is what we're all working for, is to bring the youth into this. And we thank you for coming, John, and bringing Clayton. We'll be hearing you on the airwaves, okay? And in the rest of this, it always continues with, of course, Carol Perry. Carol, how long have you been teaching?
30 years of teaching Introduction to Amateur Radio
and 12 years of so-called retirement volunteering for Radio Club of America, going to schools across the country.
You know, she gave up her own personal radio. She had a really nice radio at home, but she gave it up and she put it into a school. So when she has to get, when she wants to get on the air, she goes back to school. She goes right back to school. So as a director of the Radio Club of America, she has brought more passion to the youth in this hobby than any one person I know. And so all of us here should congratulate Carol Perry, WB2MGP, on her contribution.
Absolutely.
I would also enlist the help and give a homework assignment to everybody in this room. Next year will be the 30th year of the Dayton Youth Forum. And we are looking for suggestions on what we can do to make it be a spectacular forum next year. So if anybody has a really creative, good idea, please, please contact me.
Carol Perry, WB2MGP. You don't want to forget that call and that person. She's very important to amateur radio because you brought so many, not dozens, but hundreds of people into this hobby. And we appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
Very, very much. Well, that's just some of the things that amateur radio is all about. And we love to see the youth into this because there's so many of us old curmudgeons. I'm 60 years old this year as a ham. I'm a few years older, but I've had my license for 60 years. And it started when I also was a youngster. So it's important that we do this because it's been my college education, I will tell you. Valerie, you have some very important people.
And I've been working the room, and I'm pulling some people in here. I have with us Dr. Ralph Fedor, who is a radiologist during the day and a de-expeditioner or team leader of de-expeditions by night and vacation time, I guess. So, now, Ralph, how many de-expeditions have you been on? Do you
think? I think officially probably about 14.
And how many have you led or co-led?
Probably at least half of those.
And how many de-expeditions of the year do you know?
I have 10 de-expedition of the year plaques.
And are you in the DX Hall of Fame?
I am.
You're in the DX Hall of Fame. And so name some of the places you've been to on these de-expeditions.
Well, most recently, Amsterdam Island. I've been to South Sandwich twice, South Georgia twice, Peter the First twice, the South Orkneys, Heard Island, Easter Island, Malpelo, Desecheo, Navassa, Bhutan, and probably a few countries in between.
And I'm sure he gave a lot of you all-time new ones and helped you make the honor roll, right? Well, some of them sound a little bit scary. Do you have any scary situations that happen to you on these de-expeditions?
So you want me to tell you what scares the crap out of me?
Yes, please.
On South Sandwich, KJ9I, Dave and I, were in a tent. This big, I'll use a euphemism, this big honking wind came along, blew the tent down. We're lying on our backs on the tent floor. Our noses are against the roof of the tent, which has caved over on top of us. And it sounds like a machine gun nest in there with the wind ripping the tent. And I remember reaching into my pocket and finding a fingernail file or fingernail clip, taking the file out and holding it in my hand so I could poke a hole in the tent in case the stakes broke loose and the tent started going for the ocean.
Oh.
That's probably one of the more harrowing experiences.
Oh, wow.
So how do you, as de-expeditioners or team members, deal with some of these scary situations? I'm sure huge waves, scary animals, political unrest.
Well, yeah, there's some fear involved, and management of that is important. You know, a little fear and a little fright is good. It helps you focus, keeps your eye on the ball. But what you don't want to do is let too much of that devil get out of the bottle because you won't get him back in there again. So you're looking for people who can manage stress and so forth and keep those type of people with you.
And is that part of the criteria? I mean, what do you use when you select team members for these de-expeditions?
I guess I would say people who are, they're not, they see more than one focus. You know, they are able to adapt. They're not focused on one thing because there are things that change on you. And you have to be able to adapt to those changes. There are things you can change, things you can't, And the things you can't, you have to deal with. The things you can change, you manage. But adaptation and being able to get along with other team members, have the appropriate skills and so on, are the most important.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people that have on their bucket list, like I do, to go to a tent and generator de-expedition. So what kind of advice would you give them for to get on one of these teams?
I would say get involved. You know, talk to people who go on de-expeditions, express your interest, and do a little honing of your de-expedition skills and operating skills by getting involved with contesting. Maybe even attending DX University and Contest University would be a good idea.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Ralph Fedor, K0IR. Back to you, Bob and Gordo.
Pioneer your path. Anytime is a good time for a new ICOM base station. Be one of the first to experience how ICOM is changing the way receivers are designed with ICOM's new IC7300. It will exceed expectations. It has RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. With ICOM's IC7851, when running with the big dogs, you'll be the leader of the pack with all the pileup breaking frequency running tools at your fingertips. 1.2 kHz optimum roofing filters, new local oscillator design with improved phase noise, several spectrum scope enhancements, and more. Other worthy candidates that cannot be overlooked, ICOM's IC7600 and IC7700. These radios feature LED backlighting on an ultra-wide 5.8-inch display, advanced DSP technology, and three roofing filters, spectrum waterfall display on an impressive 7-inch color LCD, audio scope function for AF observation, and direct remote control operation with ICOM's RSBA1 software. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's base station radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Register for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for May, the radio is going to be the ICOM ID880H VHF UHF digital transceiver. It does analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF and UHF, wideband receive, free cloning software, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win after this and each episode. And for those of you who will be at Hamvention this year, drop by the ICOM booth between 2 and 3 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Tommy and I will be there recording episodes of Amateur Logic before a live studio audience or whoever shows up there in the ICOM booth. And we'll record that, bring it back, and let those who aren't there get a little bit of the excitement on that. But now, let's go back to Bob and the crew in Dayton.
Here, and we're live from Dayton, Ohio. We're at the Crown Plaza Hotel.
Second floor.
Second floor.
Yes. Oh, cash bar.
Right on. And we have a lot of good friends here that mostly are DX contest operators, but just good old ham radio operators, I like to say. And we have a couple of very special people that we want to interview. Don, before we get into that, do you want to do Newsline for us?
We can do that. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. I'm more than happy just to sit back and watch you guys over there in Dayton. I wish I could be there this year. Let's go ahead and take a look at what's going on in the news around the world of amateur radio with Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2011, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 18, 2016. We begin with a special report on the Alberta wildfires from Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A devastating wildfire has hit the Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada area hard. The fire destruction covers a staggering 328 square miles. Newsline caught up with Amateur Radio Emergency Services Operator Matthew Lewis, VE6JI, who has been working in the Fort McMurray EOC.
We did a call out on Monday when things started getting severe. We made our presence known to the EOC and they accepted us. So amateur radio, you know, sits in its little corner, mostly, you know, helping Red Cross, helping Salvation Army food trucks and things like that. It allowed us to set up a VHF station in their parking lot. We had a crossband repeater so that we could use UHF to get to the local repeater. And so we made call outs for our amateurs.
The amateur community responded.
As far as outpouring, huge amount from all over, actually, from the Calgary group and Edmonton group. They also got lots of contacts as well.
Lewis explains how important having an HF ham radio grab-and-go kit can be.
Unfortunately, we had left our houses, and including all our gear, because we were actually helping out with something else. And so the two of us that actually had portable HF capabilities didn't have our portable rigs with us. We were hoping that things had calmed down, that we'd be able to get a police escort to the house and get the stuff and whatnot, and then set up HF, but that wasn't possible. The part that we would like people to know for our little group up here is that even though we weren't used, there's still the possibility, in especially in remote communities, that amateur radio is a necessity in the event of a communications failure, like in the overloading of infrastructure and things like that.
The good news for Lewis, his home was still standing. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
With Dayton Hamvention opening this weekend, there's ongoing speculation about Hera Arena and Hamvention's future there. Hamvention is staying at Hera for the time being. And Hamvention's general chairman, Jim Tiderman, N8IDS, made those assurances in a recent interview on Ham Talk Live with Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
There were queries by our local fair board, Montgomery County Fair Board, who are looking at to replace and have been looking at this for a number of years for their facility downtown. And it just so happened that one of the areas was up around Hera. It got turned around to the story that they were going to buy Hera Arena. We have been in contact with the city of Trotwood officials. The spokesperson for that has told us directly that there is no ownership by Trotwood of Hera Arena, which if you heard that, that is has no validity. There is nothing to that. If it's just straight rumor, that is a story. It is not true. The Fair Board itself is doing its due diligence to go out and look for new facilities, venue to where they can have their fair at a new place that they've been looking at for a number of years. So it's just all information gathering. It's got nothing to do with what's going to happen with Hamvention itself. So to alleviate anything else, the first question is there going to be a Hamvention 2017? As far as we are concerned, yes, sir, there will be. Will it be at Hera? Our plans call for that right now. Yes.
You can hear the complete interview with Jim Tiderman on Neil's podcast, Ham Talk Live. It's an easy web address, www.hamtalklive.com. Of course, Newsline's reporters will be at Hamvention, and we'll have more for you on that next week. Finally, another reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award is open through the month of June. More info and the nominating form can be found on the Newsline website under the YHOTY tab. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 38 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Matthew Lewis, VE6JI, Jim Tiderman, N8IDS, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. And we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And we had some late breaking news that we'll cover more in depth in the Newsline report that will be released this Friday. Another silent key. It seems like we've had a lot this year, and we're losing some iconic people in this hobby. And that's Dave Bell, W6AQ, passed away. He was 84, a ham for 65 years. Dave Bell worked with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, of course, the founder of Newsline. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary of his death coming up next month. But he worked with Bill on all those iconic ARRL ham radio videos that you remember. I remember 2 years ago at Dayton, 2014, we had the Newsline Ham Radio Town Meeting, where normally we have a whole bunch of guests and guest speakers and everything. But this year, or that year in 2014, it was me and Dave Bell up on stage, and we had a presentation, a little background information, and showed clips of some of those iconic ARRL ham radio documentaries that they produced. Just great films. You need to go to the ARRL website and buy you a copy of those, quite frankly, because they're well worth having in every ham's
Library. But Dave passed away, and spending time up there on stage, emceeing his presentation of the films that he made is a memory that I will treasure until I draw my last breath. So Dave Bell, W6AQ, A Silent Key. He was a good man. He was an Emmy Award winner. He was a television pioneer and amazing documentarian and a good man and a huge friend of amateur radio and of us at Newsline in particular. So, Dave, we are going to miss you terribly. So, and again, we'll have a more on Dave Bell in next week's Newsline report. But now let's take care of a little bit of business. This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses. You might think, well, that's strange. Can you buy mattresses through the mail? You can buy anything through the mail. And you can get a Casper mattress for a fraction of the cost. And this is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the savings directly on to you, the consumer. And I think we have some video of Leo Laporte trying this thing out. We'll see if we can find that. Victor is on that right. Oh, here we go. There's the box that came to Leo's house. Just amazing. Anyway, Casper Mattresses, it's a company that is obsessively engineered. They engineer these mattresses for a fair price. They combine two technologies, that's springy latex foam and supportive memory foam. They give you an award-winning sleep service, just the right sink, and just the right bounce. That's how it comes to you. You just unroll it and let it fill out. The Casper mattress, this is a serious mattress. This ain't no Walmart air mattress, Clark. This thing will provide long-lasting comfort and support, and it helps you regulate your temperature and help you sleep through the night because it breathes. Leo loves it. Look at him right there. You can almost hear him snoring. You should try a Casper mattress. Just amazing. And you can try that. You know, you go to a mattress store and you lay down for 15, 20 seconds. That's no way to try out a mattress. You need to put in some serious time. And that's why Casper offers free delivery and painless returns with a 100-day period. So you don't have to lie down in a showroom. You get 100 days to try it out. And then if you don't like it, you send it back. But I know you're going to like it. Statistically, lying on a bed in a showroom has absolutely no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you because you don't put in the time. The Casper mattress is engineered to meet the Goldilocks standard of just right. It's not too hard, not too soft. And, of course, Casper upholds the highest environmental production standards and are made in the USA. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. So there you have it. You're going to love a Casper mattress. You need to get one. And you can save, as a matter of fact, $500 for a twin, $950 for a king size. That's an amazing price compared to industry averages. It's outstanding. And you can save an additional $50 towards a mattress purchase as one of the Ham Nation viewers just by going to casper.com/hamnation. You enter the promo code Ham Nation. Easy as that. casper.com/hamnation with promo code Ham Nation. Terms and conditions apply, but you're going to love it. So that's one of the things that you can absolutely. Would I order shoes online? Probably not. I'll order food online, and I'll for sure order a mattress online. You need to go check it out. casper.com/hamnation. Thank you, Casper. Appreciate your support of Ham Nation. Now back out to Dayton, Ohio, and the assorted gang.
We have lots of mattresses in this building, but they're not Casper, so we're going to talk to the people and see if we can get a big sale going. That would be cool. We are now joined by some very important people that have kept Ham Nation going almost from the beginning, which was starting 5 years ago, this coming weekend, believe it or not.
That long ago.
Yeah. This is Ray Novak, and Ray has been the big stalwart of keeping this thing on the air. We appreciate all that you do. But you've kind of moved around in the organization, and you have somebody else that helps you or really took your position. Tell us a little bit of what's happening and introduce Will.
Well, not the only one. I mean, there's a few ICOM people sprinkled around here. Adrian walking around here to get a better view, and he better not be posting on Facebook. But Will over here is taking care of a lot of the amateur stuff. We'll have our Land Mobile booth at Dayton for the first time this year. I'll be over in the Land Mobile section. Diane and the rest of the crew will be in the main booth. And then a lot of the guys that do D-Star over there by us in the D-Star booth. So it's going to be moving pretty good. But normally I'm exhausted from setting up a full day, and I was out calling land mobile dealers in the area and had to have dinner to just find out what's going on with Will.
And, well, I am exhausted from setting up for the whole day. It was quite an adventure in Hare Arena. We took our first day of setup, and it's going quite well for everybody. It's looking good.
Great.
And it's an absolute pleasure to be here on Ham Nation again.
Well, Will, we appreciate all that you're doing, and I imagine you probably have one or two of those 7300s around, right?
I have a few toys, Bob. I do. You could call me spoiled, okay. I guess you could
say. Yeah. And you get paid for this.
It's
all this stuff up.
It doesn't seem fair, does it?
I hear you. Well, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate through the years of ICOM supporting Ham Nation, because this program has just gone crazy. We're so thrilled that all the viewers continue with us and it keeps growing all the time. But it's because of the support that we have, and we appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you for having us here, Bob, and to go along with what Don was talking about earlier about Dave Bell. My first exposure working with him outside of the ARRL videos was in 2006, my first experience with WRTC. There's a video on YouTube called 24 Hours of Brazil talking about what WRTC is about, and I think Val's going to be sharing with us something that's coming up pretty soon.
Yes, that's great. I'm very proud that I was a founding member of the Hollywood Hills QRP Field Day Club. It was such a pleasure. Dave invited me to be a part of that. And it was Bill Pasternak and myself and Dave Lyle. And I can't believe that it's all ended, because I just feel that my friends, be it ham radio or just other friends, are gone. Dave Bell should not be gone. Bill Pasternak should not be gone, but they are. So we have to make as much of this hobby as we can. And there again, that's why we all come to Dayton every year and drag through all the mud to get here. But it's kind of fun, isn't it?
And follow the words of Carol to get youth involved.
That's right. We got to do it. Well, we've got some very important people that came a long way to be here. And let's see if we can switch the camera back and see what Val's got, because she's got some important folks. Go ahead, Val.
Yes, I've been working the room again. And thanks, Ray, for that nice segue. By the way, we just got a 7851 in. I have not made a contact on it yet because I've been busy getting ready for Dayton, but hopefully when I get home, I will let you know what I think. So yes, I've been working the room, and I found two German operators here. I have Chris, Delta Lima 1, Mike, Golf, Bravo, and Sandy, Delta Lima 1, Quebec. And they're in charge of the WRTC. And for those of you who don't know what that is like the Olympics of amateur radio contesting, and they're going to be hosting that in 2018 in Germany. So tell me, what's all involved with hosting WRTC?
Well, there's lots of things that have to be done to organize an event like this. So as you said, it's the Olympic Games of the contesters, and we have to set up like 63 field day stations so that we have a leveled play field for all the contesters. So, there's lots to be organized for this event in Germany in 2018. It's going to take place in July. Okay. During the IIU contest,
which is like the third weekend in July, second weekend in July. Now, how many teams are you going to be eligible to participate in WRTC, and where are they going to be coming from?
There will be in total 63 teams from all over the world. There are 49 teams normally qualified through a 2-year qualification process. And some more teams, we have up to 3 youth teams under 25 years. We will have the last champions, N6MJ and KL9A from 2014 in Boston. We will have sponsored teams, up to 5 sponsored teams can participate. And there will be also some wildcard teams. I'm summing up into 63 total teams.
And that's a lot of work to put on for 63 tents with 63 sets of equipment for two operators for each tent, as well as referees. How much does it cost to put something like this on?
Who wants that one?
Well, I'm in charge of that because I'm a member of the fundraising team. So our budget is 400,000 euros. That's approximately $450,000 that we have to fundraise. And so we are looking for corporate sponsors. So if you own a company or you know anybody who owns a company who would like to become a corporate sponsor, please contact us here in Dayton. We also do a tent sponsorship. That means clubs or groups can, for a donation of 1,000 euro, they can assign their club logo to one of the tents. And of course, we need individual donations. And we are really lucky to tell you that WWROF, which is a nonprofit U.S. organization, is handling the donations from U.S. taxpayers. And this way, it is tax deductible. So,
Where do they go for that?
Well, you have to write out a check to WWROF. And you can hand it to us during the Hamvention and here at the Crown Plaza. There will be WRTC people around. You can hand us the checks and we will forward it to WWROF. And for all donations, $100 up, we have special individualized award tiles. So your call sign and name will be on that award. And your call sign will also be shown on our homepage for any donations.
And every little bit helps. I know we have a pre-Dayton barbecue. We had, 55 people, and we had a donation set up for WRTC, and we collected over $600 right at our own barbecue. So bring it up to your contest clubs, your DX clubs, your regular amateur radio clubs, and see if your club can put together and sponsor a tent or even just sponsor a tile, $100. Every little bit helps. Now, I know you've competed before. Have you competed as well, Chris?
I tried to. I tried to qualify for the last WRTC in 2014. I was referee in 2010 in Moscow. And so after not being a competitor, I said I will organize the next one. So, That's how I...
And you competed, Sandy, and you were with Irene. Is that correct?
Her name is Irina, Delta Lima 8, Delta Yankee Lima. She's a really good CW operator, and I picked her as my teammate for Boston. And we ended up 21st out of 59 teams, and we had a great time in Boston. It was fun.
All right, and I think I'm going to pass it over to you, Bob. Any questions for these guys?
No, we just want to help you raise a lot of money so you can make this happen because it's very important for amateur radio. So thanks for all you do in making it happen, and we'll be on the other end trying to get through the pileups.
Very good.
All right.
And we are waiting for your donation, Bob. Thank you very much.
We always support them. We always support them, usually with lots of headphones and microphones and whatever. Yep. We're there.
So the last words, I guess, for this weekend, we are very active. We will have a WRTC special night on Friday. Every donation up starting at, I think, 100. Starting with 100 euros, we'll get a free German beer.
All right.
We will have a booth at the Hamvention next to the AWRL stand. At Ball Arena BA 488, and we will have a presentation in the contest forum on Saturday, 12:30. It is starting about the WRTC preparations.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. And here you go, Bob.
You just have to tell us whether you want pink ones or red ones. Are black or blue. You see, that we know it's going to be a Heil Pro 7. We just have to pick out the color.
You have the pink.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
We do have fun. I want to introduce a really great friend of mine, ham radio buddy. Where's he at? Jim, get in here. W5JCS. And Jim, we've been friends for a long time, but he's got a great story that I want you to tell about how many years you've been coming and that one first year. Tell us about this.
I've been coming for 36 years, and 36 years ago, last week, my brother, W0NEV, who's probably watching tonight, he's coming tomorrow, he said, let's go to Dayton. I knew what it was. I was a novice. Uh-huh. And I came and had a great time. And Monday morning afterwards, I got a phone call from a guy named Noel McCowan, and he said, you won the grand prize. And I said, my gosh, is that the Drake station? He said, no, that's the third place prize. You won the Big Kenwood station. And I still have that.
And you still have it.
And I still love coming to Dayton. And Contest University has meant so much. It's really the highlight. And seeing the old friends at Dayton.
That's 39 years, that's really great. And you still have it on the air.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Thanks a lot. I wanted to share that story because these are the stories you hear throughout the next 3 or 4 days about all of us that do many, many things and have so much fun doing it, of course. So we're really cool about some of the things we do, but then a lot of things we keep real quiet about it. But we want to bring this through Ham Nation to you, the viewers, and we appreciate you being here every week. We've got a very special person. And this is Angel. Angel, how are you?
How are you doing there, Bob? And thank you to also to Val. And I see a lot of friends around here, too, that I see in Atillo also. Tim back there and a lot of guys that I see.
I understand that you kind of play with a very big antenna, right?
Yeah, that's right. I heard somebody say they get paid for doing things like that. I'm kind of fortunate to get paid to do things like that, too. A real big antenna in Arecibo.
Arecibo. Wow. And tell us a little bit about how big it is and what you're doing with it these days. A lot of people might not know about that.
Well, Arecibo is still the world's biggest single-dish radial telescope. And what makes it unique is that we don't only receive, we also have transmitters. So there's three facets of radio astronomy. We do atmospheric sciences at 430 megahertz, okay, and which also doubles as a moon-bounce antenna that you guys probably seen. And so we also do passive radio astronomy, which also won a Nobel Prize for a ham, right? Joe Taylor, K1JT. Yeah. And we also do planetary radar, bouncing signals off the nearby planets, comets, and asteroids. So the dish is 1,000 feet across. And it's 1,000 feet across. So you need a lot of surface area to get really, really, really weak signals when you bounce something off of a planet.
Tell everybody where it is and so on.
Well, Arecibo is in Puerto Rico. It's about 50 miles west of San Juan and on the northern coast of the island. And it's been there since 1963. It's operated now by a consortium. It used to be operated by Cornell. It's a consortium under the contract by National Science Foundation, SRI International, USRA, and a local university.
Well, I remember when it went in. I was a crazy VHF operator in those days, so we all had a lot of respect for Arecibo, and it's still running. I'm so glad you're here and glad that we could bring a little bit of that history to Ham Nation because those are the things that keep it all going for us, that's for sure. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much, sir, Bob. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We're going to take this back to Don because I think he's got one more little thing to talk about, and I think it's a real important company that we want to hear from. Don, it's all yours.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Audible. You might think, well, now what does that have to do with ham radio? Well, there are over 250,000 downloadable books on Audible, and I'll bet that you can probably find one about ham radio or written by someone who had something to do with ham radio if you just go in and search. And Audible is really, really easy to search. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks. They have, like I said, more than 250,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, comedy. It's all there. And because you're a Ham Nation viewer, you can get a free Audible audiobook to give you a chance to try it out. Now, one you might consider is one that I actually have on my wish list right now. I have not started listening to this one, but I cannot wait. I'm not a real political person, but, you know, growing up as a child of the 60s, John Kennedy was a hero of mine. I was 3 when he was assassinated. But the book I'm talking about is called The Kennedy Half Century, the presidential, the presidency, assassination, and lasting legacy of John F. Kennedy. And I am so looking forward to getting into this because as a child, he was just kind of a hero of mine, one of those larger-than-life people. And, of course, you know, I've watched almost everything that there is to watch about President Kennedy and you know, Camelot and the tragic death of John, and of course that iconic scene of John at his dad's funeral as just a little bitty boy saluting the casket just tears your heart out. So I'm really looking forward into getting into this book and learning more about the legacy of this amazing president, John F. Kennedy. So that's one that you might check out, or you can go in and search for one that you might like yourself. I was totally hooked on the Stephen King books there for a good while, but they're all there. And you can go and you can download that book for free, a Stephen King book for free, any book for free at audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. You need to go in and check that out, and we do appreciate them being a supporter of Ham Nation. We really, really do. Who do we have coming up next? George, is it you, or are we going back out to Dayton? My internet dropped off for a sec, so I just came back seconds before Bob called for the audible spot. So I'm not sure who we're going back to, but y'all don't need to watch me. Go back to somebody else.
I'm working the room. Lots of contesters and DXers here. And look who I find. I found Bernie McClenny, Whiskey 3 Uniform Radio, and he is the House DX columnist for QST Magazine. He also writes, does the daily DX, the weekly DX, and he's got, how many countries you got on 160?
319.
And how many banned countries do you have?
3130.
Okay, so he's a bit of a DXer. So tell us, what's involved in writing the column for QST or coming up with a daily DX report? For those of you who don't subscribe, it's a wealth of knowledge. It's a huge email with iotas, DX, everything coming up, everything you need to know. People who are DXing holiday style, there's so much information in there. I don't know how long it takes you to put together just one daily DX.
One daily DX typically takes about 6 to 8 hours to do. It all depends on the day and how much news is going on, but in a typical day, I get about 500 emails, of which I have to collate down to get sometimes just a little tidbit, and sometimes it's a major story.
And I know you also have a weekly DX, which is a cheaper subscription package as well, correct?
Yes, it's a four-page PDF file, includes graphics, colors, photographs. It's basically a conglomeration of what happened during the past 5 to 7 days.
And for those of you who read QST, he does all the article or the House articles on the DX column of all upcoming DX as well, right?
Yes, I've been doing the House DX column now for since 1999.
And I know you have a free trial subscription for those of you DXers out there that want to know what DX is coming up or IOTA is coming up. How do they go about getting the free trial subscription?
You can go right to www.dailydx.com. There's a free 2-week for the daily DX and the weekly DX. And I'm also, there's a free link also to Twitter at dailydx.
Very good. Well, thanks for joining us, Bernie. And I'm going to head it back to Bob and Gordo.
George, do you have anything for us? What's going on in Mississippi?
We'll be back with Bob in just a moment. But first, let me give away something. You know, last week I promised that I'd be giving away this DX Engineering GBWM wall mount copper ground bus. Well, here it is, a great way to connect all your grounds for your shack. And I asked the question, and this came from the technician exam, what is the primary advantage of single sideband over FM for voice transmissions? Your answers were A, single sideband signals are easier to tune. B, SSB signals are less susceptible to interference. C, SSB signals have narrower bandwidth. Or D, all of these choices are correct. And, you know, I didn't draw a winner. I promise I was, but I just realized I haven't. So We'll be getting that, and toward the end of the show here with Amanda, I'm going to tell you who wins this. But I've got something else that we are going to give away next week, and this comes from MFJ. It's the MFJ Guardian Angel Lightning Surge Suppressor. It's for your 50-ohm coax. This one has PL259s on it. However, they're available in type-in as well. This particular one here is the MFJ 270. It's good from DC to, I believe it's 1 gigahertz. And it can take up to 400 watts. They've got another model, though, that can take up to 1,500 watts. Helps keep surges from coming in your coax and damaging your valuable rig. So if you'd like to win that, answer this question. What is the name of a circuit that generates a signal of a desired frequency? A, it's a reactance modulator. B, it's a product detector. C, a low-pass filter. Or D, an oscillator. So if you'd want to win one of these, send an email to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll find out who gets this next week. And we'll find out who gets this in just a moment. But right now, let's go back out to Bob and the crew in Dayton.
Oh, this is not wine like some are drinking. It's my Dr. Pepper. That's it, okay? Somebody wanted to put that on Facebook. It's Dr. Pepper. Anyway, we've had a great time.
We did. We did. And I can't believe all the wonderful people in the audience.
Yes.
We have a great crowd here today. Wave everybody.
All right, everybody rave.
All right. We take off and talk to Amanda. We've had a great time here in Dayton. And this is Contest University crew. And we're so thrilled everybody could be a part of it. And I'm glad that all of you.
Gotta get the gentry in.
Yes. All right.
Well, we are going to march out to Colorado.
Oh, I've been there. Rocky Mountain Ham Radio. You folks know how to do it. And Amanda, you made it happen, and all of your team. So, Amanda, take them away and tell them what it was like at 10,000 feet last weekend for the Rocky Mountain Ham Radio Convention.
It was awesome. But first, I have to do this. The gentry. Oh. Love that. The Rocky Mountain Division Convention was so wonderful. It was our first year in Keystone, Colorado. It was a pleasure to have Gordo out there. Gordo, I think you had a ton of fun going with Mikey over Loveland Pass. You got to see snow this time for the first time this year. How was that for you?
It was great. In California, we have no water, but we had plenty of snow when you pushed me over the hill, which I've already been, Amanda.
Very good. And 9,200 feet. Most people, that's a long weekend when you're at 9,200 feet. Just saying. First of all, I have one announcement for during the Dayton convention. The National Voice of America is having an open house Saturday the 21st from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Exit 22 on I-75. So if you guys are in Dayton and you have an extra $5, go down there. It's about 40 miles south of Dayton, I guess. Go check it out. And other than that, George, did we find a contest winner?
We did, Amanda, and that's going to be Ted Hatfield, NF0M. He said that the answer to...
He's in our audience.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he is.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, congratulations, Ted. Well, you know what you said. Single sideband signals have a narrower bandwidth, so congratulations. We're going to send you one of these from DX Engineering. As a matter of fact, you can probably go hit up Tim Duffy for it right now.
Hey, it's great. I'll definitely go hit him up for it.
Yeah. Congratulations,
That's
Ted.
Funny.
Thank you very That's much. Great. Appreciate it.
All right.
That is
I do
funny.
Have a couple more things, Bob. You got the Ham Nation booth going on. You got all of your workers there ready to go for this weekend?
We do, and look what we have. We have some new cards, and everybody that comes by will get them. And it has all of our images on here, including Joe Walsh, who plays the theme every week. And we want you to come by the booth. It's in Audio Alley. And then we have a lot of volunteers that man the booth. We're so happy. And thanks very much, Amanda, for the card.
I was going to say, those are snazzy. They're... Who did those?
I have no idea, but she must be a cool chick. That's all I can say. I'm glad you guys got the cards okay. Yeah. And other than that, let's mention some nets, you guys. I know you guys there at Dayton are probably not going to get on the radio, but the rest of us that can't go to Dayton want to do something, so we want to get on the air. Let's see. We've got 7180 for the 40-meter net, 14 Charlie for the D-Star net, and, of course, don't forget Dewdrop in for the Echo Link net. And I don't believe there's a 20-meter net because W7UDI is there with you guys, right, Bob?
He is. He's somewhere in the room. Steve.
Yeah, let's have Steve come and pay a little respect to he works crazy after each show, so we want to get him in and say hi to everybody. And hello, Steve. It's good
hi,
to have
Bob,
you, buddy.
How you doing? Hi, Gordo.
You doing okay?
Yeah, doing okay.
All right.
Yeah, we're not doing the 20-meter net tonight. Guess what? I'm here. Also, want to let everybody know we got a couple of new net controllers on 40 meters. That's Eric N2KOJ and Kevin KC7FPF. So I'll give them a shout on the 40-meter net. And good evening, Amanda. How you doing
all
tonight?
All right. Thank
we're
you
doing great,
so
Steve.
Much.
Thank you so much. And I have to put another plug in for Kevin, KC7FPF. He just got his DXCC, so congratulations to him as well.
Excellent.
That's all right. I have, you guys. I hope to, we're going to get on 40 meters here, so I hope to hear everyone that's not in Dayton on the air, and we can all mourn together. Back to you, Bob and Gordo.
All right. Thank you so much. Good to see you, Steve.
Good seeing you, Bob.
I appreciate you being here. Well, one last thing. Friday, you're going to be with Carol Perry.
Yep. In the morning, Carol has the instructor forum. And then on Saturday, it's Kids Day her Kids Youth Forum. I'll get it straight.
That starts at 9:15, and there's still time for you to get to Dayton, and there are rooms around. Don't worry about that. There's lots of hotels, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you. You doing any workshops here other than in Contest University?
Well, we're going to be in the Ham Nation Forum Room 1 on Saturday, right?
10:30
to 12:15. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we'll... George will be here.
I'm going to show up on George's thing at the ICOM booth. I'll be there. And then I'm also a professor in Contest U. So I've got a little bit going on.
Busy. All right. Well, we're so happy that everybody is able to be here and make things happen for us. We're appreciative of Tim to let us have this time. And now it's time for Spirits and Pizza. Is that
That's right. And Clayton, thank you for helping us engineer this show. Thank
you. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
He's our key grip.
Thank you, Clayton. Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, Clayton.
All right. Well, 7-3, everybody. We'll see you all down the pike from Dayton.